Go for it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Stoneface Films right around the corner. Just very quickly wanted to tell you about Patreon.
Patreon.
It's a fun place where you can support the Stoneface Films podcast and presumably other podcasts, but we don't want you to support them.
On the Stoneface Films podcast Patreon page, you will see a tier system. You can pick a tier. The tiers are effectively different levels of donations. Once you choose that, you get various little rewards depending on which one you choose. They are all listed in full on the Patreon site.
You can get t-shirts, you can get thrilling behind the scenes content, you can even have your name listed at the end of every show.
Who doesn't want their name said on the internet by some strangers in Dublin?
Probably me. But hey, check it out. If you want to support the show, it's a really fun, great way to do it, and we really appreciate everyone who's gotten involved so far.
You are our favourite.
Thanks.
Bye. Page three, real awkward though.
Oh, it's Carl again.
That's where the dessert went.
Yeah. Covered in banoffee.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. My name is John Hosier Byrne, creative director at Stoneface Films, and with me, as always, he almost couldn't be here today because in 1997, a major war between the United States and the Soviet Union concluded with the entire island of Manhattan converted into a giant maximum security prison. Now, with Air Force One hijacked and crashed into an island, David Riley, a former Special Forces soldier turned criminal, is recruited to retrieve the president in exchange for his own freedom. So that's why you almost couldn't be here, David.
I'll show you lengthy one. Cleave.
Yeah.
The eye patch suits you.
The eye patch does suit me. Fort Knox, though, wasn't it? Fort Knox?
Is that...
He steals from? Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Just to people...
For those interested, as we discussed in the last episode, really great graphic novel, Crossing Over David Riley with Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
So definitely worth a look there.
You look exactly like Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Oh, if only.
Also with us today, and we're delighted to have him, is John A. Roebling. John A. Roebling, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions. How you doing, Rob?
Hello, I'm good.
You want to have a guess?
He created a small robe.
No, very good though. Baby robes.
Yeah.
No, think you were really close earlier on.
Bridges.
Suspension bridges.
Wire rope suspension bridges. Woo. In particular, the Brooklyn Bridge.
Top lad.
So there you go. German-born American civil engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Creating reverse bridges.
This is it. It's weird because I just go through the list of Civilization V's great engineers and just click the next one. And it was weird that you said suspension bridges and then legitimately just the next one was the dude who invented the suspension bridge. Also with us there, you heard her voice a moment ago. She is a journalist. She is a writer. She is in bed with the paper of record, the Irish Times, and she is a badass halfling rogue wizard called Elisadi Silvershaper, Miss Emer Sugru.
Thanks for having me back.
How was that introduction? Was that all right?
Yeah.
Is there anything I'm missing you want? Like,
no, my life really isn't that interesting like that.
Gangland,
I don't have a huge
warlord
list of achievements.
That's not true. You've loads of achievements. Former editor of the University Observer, the greatest paper in the wider Belfield region that we were both editors of. And by that I mean it's the best paper that both of us were editors of. We have a new feature on the podcast. It's actually a really old feature, but we're bringing it to the fore.
Yeah, it was originally one of the pitches you threw out at me.
For the podcast itself.
Yeah.
Everyone's stupid but me. It really shines a light into where my mental space was at 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
The idea is we have a guest on each week and they will name something, put forward an argument that why something that they love and everyone else hates is brilliant or something that they hate and everyone else loves is dreadful. This week, of course, we have the talented Emer Sugru here. And Emer, what are you going to be? And then the whole thing is we'll judge whether everyone's stupid but her. So Emer, what this week, with no pressure, what's your pick this week for Everyone's Stupid But Me?
My pick is the Harry Potter films. I just saw the new one, which isn't a Harry Potter film. I don't know. Is there a name for the universe now that it's making?
J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pottermore kind of.
Whatever the universe is, yeah. It's the first good film of that universe. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find
Them. You reckon?
Yeah, and it really, it highlights even more to me how completely dogshit all of the Harry Potter films are.
Wow, I'm surprised to hear this. I would have thought the Harry Potter films would have been right up your street.
I love the Harry Potter books.
Okay.
The books I am obsessed with. I could probably recite them.
Ah, so now I think we're slowly narrowing in on why... Yeah, okay, so what's the argument? What do you not like about the Harry Potter films?
I feel like it strips all the joy out of it. So, like... A lot of the books is really ordinary school life, and you're mostly getting the kind of the thoughts of the characters and getting to know them, whereas the film is sort of like a flip book of big events
and
flashy magic and stuff like that.
That's kind of the nature of film adaptation from a book, a novel.
You can do it well and you can do it badly, and I think they did it badly.
I get what you mean, that it's like, obviously with a novel you have more time to be like, oh, they went to potions class, and here's some weird shit that they did, which is nice. You can have nice little sort of day-to-day vignettes or whatever, and then... In the movies, it's sort of like, okay, so this plot point is relevant to Voldemort. This plot point is relevant to... So they pick those bits out. And again, I only read the first four books, so I'm not an expert.
Those are the best ones, really, to be fair.
And also, to be fair, Donna fell asleep, particularly when we were living back in Leeson Street, with just putting on a Harry Potter movie. And then, like, I was against the wall. Like, that was my side of the bed. So it was just, I guess I am watching The Philosopher's Stone again. The worst one.
Yeah.
I get your point. Is there anything else you dislike about it? Like, is it not true to the books, do you not think?
It's sort of true, but in just a really soulless way. I don't know. I find them really boring, the movies. And I really dislike all the characters in the movies.
I don't like... And Donna has raised this point as well, that J.K. Rowling said that if she had seen Emma Watson before, she'd actually talked to her on the phone and was all convinced that she would be a great Hermione. But if she had seen her beforehand, she wouldn't have let her be Hermione.
She's too pretty.
Whereas Hermione in the books is meant to be a sort of long-toothed,
gangly
girl. Mm. Which would, you know, which works better as a character.
It does, but I suppose I did find that too important, because even after she gets her teeth straightened in the book, she's still, like, pretty insufferable. Like, it's not like she's suddenly really popular. Everyone still hates her.
It also probably colours why there was a big thing of, like, when the movies came out, I don't know whether it was the same in the books, when the movies came out, there was a whole thing about how Hermione doesn't end up with Harry Potter, which is what one would imagine.
Mm.
You know, the conventional Hollywood ending to be.
Yeah.
But if she's not... Firstly, I like that they didn't do that. I like that the most prominent female character in the series isn't a prize for the protagonist to win as a result of him, you know, overcoming Voldemort or whatever. But also, I like then that if it's the two nerdy, outcasty people in Ron and Hermione that they find each other... It's, I suppose, only when you convert that to celluloid and have Emma Watson being, like, you know, a very good-looking person.
Yeah.
And Rupert Grint played?
Yeah. He's not a very good-looking person.
I mean, Rupert Grint is Rupert Grint.
But then I think that was accurate to the books, to be honest. I don't think Ron was supposed to be anything special.
No, but I think because Hermione isn't meant to be anything special but is Emma Watson, I think that's why that was, like, a thing when the movie came out, right? Yeah. Which is probably a shame, but there you go.
Mm.
You know, Rupert Grint apparently spent all his money on, like, an ice cream truck and a personal zoo.
I respect that.
He was just like, first thing he bought was an ice cream truck. Living the dream.
What a child is going to do when you give them
when you give them loads of money. And your man, the kid who played Seamus, the Irish student.
Oh yeah, wasn't he suing them for something?
Yeah, he bought his ma's suing them. But yeah, he bought a racehorse. It was the
That's
first
so
thing he
Irish.
Bought.
God, why are Ball Irish horse. People so fucking Irish?
Oh, fucking horse.
Why is he suing?
I think... I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. It's some stupid...
It was genuine. It's not a good reason.
Like, I think he might have been... They didn't keep a close enough eye on him while he was there, and he was, like, smoking and stuff.
It was like a thing where it's like the mother sued the company for being, like... Yeah, for not taking good enough care of him.
Yeah, it's like suing the school principal because you find out your child is smoking. That's the kind of equivalent.
Yeah, not a good reason.
I don't think they won. I think they lost.
God, he's 28 now. His mom shouldn't be suing anyone on anyone's behalf.
That's, well, God sure, bless. I think they're just looking for money because they've spent all their money on racehorses. Might have something to do with it.
Which of the Crab and Goyle, one of them's in jail?
God, I've no idea.
I think one of them's dead. Yeah. Isn't it?
No, I think he got fired from the film because
from Goyling.
He fought someone and got arrested.
It's
such a risk when you're casting a pile of children and stuff. You've just no idea how they're going to turn out.
And if they were going to turn out well, you've probably ruined that by making them stars and taking them away from school.
So that's why by like the seventh film, he's just gone.
Oh, really?
He's just not there anymore. No one talks about him.
Going back to the, is everyone stupid but me? I liked the last two films. I thought the last film in particular was very good.
I think they got better, but I still think, like, I don't know. The book was very slow paced, which kind of worked because it was about them being incredibly frustrated because they realized they know fuck all about anything.
Right.
Because they're like 17 and in a tent for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it was very hard to make that interesting in film. Camping for 6 months. Camping and bickering. It was most of the last book. And then so it was like 500 pages of camping and then about 50 pages of breaking into a bank and the end.
Yeah. And so Ron sort of
been a twat.
Being sexually frustrated and being jealous of Harry, right?
That was a lot because he had the necklace or something.
He had the neck. He was just really jealous of his necklace.
He had to wear the Horcrux.
Right. Who did?
Ron.
They were taking turns with the Horcrux they found because they couldn't figure out how to break it.
And right.
They hadn't quite got that far.
And that's what made him horny.
That's what made him a dickhead.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Harry Potter. I tell you what, I enjoyed Fantastic Beasts.
Yes,
I thought that was a really great film. I really enjoyed it. I liked the...
See nothing. It's
you haven't seen it yet?
Going to see it this afternoon.
And I've seen it on Friday, so...
It's top. I'm wearing a very nice Loot Crate t-shirt from Loot Crate.
It's really nice t-shirts. Just to see outside of Britain, because Harry, obviously being an idiot child, didn't really think about what anything was. He didn't even know there was other schools until he was about 15.
Yeah.
He really didn't think.
Didn't ask.
No, he didn't ask. Yeah. That's a lot of stuff in Harry Potter. Like him realizing what a stupid, stupid child he's been.
The production design of Fantastic Beasts is so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful looking film. Like it really is. And Colin Farrell slays in it.
He's good.
He's real good anyway.
He's a bjore. Absolute bjore of a man. Anyway, guys, what are we thinking? Are the Harry Potter films dreadful?
No.
Is everyone stupid but Emer?
I really like them.
You really like them, Rob?
I enjoy them. I think I'm seeing it through a lens of nostalgia, though. Because the first couple of ones are fucking dog shit.
The first two definitely are terrible.
But once they got like decent directors, I hate Chris Columbus anyway. But once they got decent directors, they started going in the right direction. Once it started
the fifth
darker.
One is better than the book.
But the thing is, though, I think
that's the book I don't like.
Novels don't work as films. There's too much in them. They need TV series.
Right.
But like, you can work like a film should essentially just be a short story, a novella at most, because there's enough in there for, you know, three acts. But a novel is just way too much for thing. Because imagine they made a Game of Thrones film, trying to pack.
They tried to apparently for like 10 years.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah,
there's too much in it. So
I suppose you're right, Emer. You've been roundly rebuffed, and I'm sorry, but David and Rob think you're stupid.
I'll take my books and go.
I was gonna fall on your side, but that's.
I do need to reread the books.
It's two to three, so I'm afraid.
I have the audiobooks read by Stephen Fry. They're magical.
I've heard the guy who reads the American ones is better.
Well, if he's reading it in American accent, then it's not better.
No, he's
he's said as a statement of Fry.
That's wrong, David. You're wrong.
Do you know what I got really just while QI came up? I got into, because you mentioned it yesterday, and I've listened to three episodes since.
Oh, cool.
There's No Such Thing as a Fish.
Mm-hmm. It's a real good podcast.
The QI Elves podcast. Yeah. I'm recommending it on News Talk at 6 or 6:30
real
whenever
funny.
I'm on later on. Really good, really funny, really entertaining. Some fucking top facts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some top level facts. Just the facts I heard literally this morning while I was listening to the podcast. You know when you say planned to a T? You know what the T stands for?
No.
It's a real thing. When you say something is planned to a T, it's tiddle. And it is a printer's terminology for the dot on top of a lowercase I.
Amazing.
So that's what when someone says down to a T. Greek sculptors may very well have been involved in the crafting of the terracotta army. thousands of years before Marco Polo. That's very interesting. The thing I mentioned to you earlier, Rob.
The Wipers Dams?
British soldiers fighting in Ypres in the First World War discovered a printing press and created a satirical newspaper called the Wipers Times.
It's essentially and our college experience.
It is, right? Like, oh, you're still doing that with the Wipers. Like, we're still making satirical bullshit. But, like, I don't know if you've seen The Wiz. Did we ever show you
Have,
The Wiz?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, they had, like, advertisements for the German flamethrowers that the Germans were using on them. And they were like, is your child a practical sort?
It's amazing.
And they had advertisements to, like, buy no man's land and shit like that. Yeah. And it was Wipers because that's like a bad pronunciation of Ypres, like Y-P-R-E-S.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, submarines printed their own newspapers during the Second World War. They had their own little newspaper crew inside submarines that printed newspapers for the sailors.
Just what this, the what's happening...
In the world of submarines.
Just within this particular submarine.
Yeah.
Or the gossip.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
That's so funny.
I think they probably got radioed in. News. You have to imagine. You can't imagine it was just all like...
Pea soup again.
Carl ate my dessert. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm assuming so all submariners have dessert.
And are called Carl.
And are called Carl.
I mean, they're stuck in a pressurized tube with no escape, so yeah. You need to give them a little comfort.
This is it.
Page three, real awkward though.
Oh, it's Carl again.
That's where the dessert went.
Yeah. Covered in banoffee. Here's another great one I heard today. 30% of the cocaine in the United States arrives via submarine.
Oh my God,
that's very strong. And they're homemade submarines made in the Colombian jungle, and they feature a lot of parts of go-karts.
That's so beautiful.
Like, these are some strong wee factoids.
Yeah.
Just so highly recommend. Thank you for the recommendation.
Factoids are fake facts.
That's very true. They're just
are
facts.
They? I thought it was sort of tiny facts.
No, factoids are statements that are made to sound
like
true,
facts.
Oh,
but are
okay.
Not. That's
okay.
Very true. That's well corrected.
Another fact.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom. Suck at QI elves.
But yeah, no, totally. Check out There Is No Such Thing as a Fish. Reserved as I am to recommend any other podcast. Still Face Films podcast.
Listening to it.
But yeah, no, it's definitely worth checking out.
Hello, listeners of the As of Yet Untitled Stoneface Production Committee Era podcast. It's those boozy guys from the fine El Kenton. Now, guys, why should someone listen to our show?
Well, Ben, I think it's sad to drink alone. Now you can drink with friends on the internet.
If you're a fan of the Stoneface Films podcast, they do an advert in our podcast, so you can tune in and listen to that.
Funny jokes, famous guests, and witty repartee. If you're sick of these things, tune into the Fine Ale Countdown. New episodes Thursdays at 8 p.m, where we drink beer!
Well, there we have it. See you next episode, new listeners.
It's the Fine Ale Countdown!
We had you over for D&D yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you guys... Rob, I'm going to alienate you slightly.
That's fine. You told me what it went on earlier, and it sounded amazing.
We had a fun D&D. I hope you guys enjoyed it anyway.
So good.
Brilliant.
Can we talk about it for a little bit? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Smashed a bottle. That's got to be the highlight.
It was an actual physical bottle.
Got to hit a glass bottle with a hammer, which is fun.
Yeah, it was filled with this orange powder that... may or may not have been left over from the hometown video.
Hermit Greenwood.
Sorry, the Hermit.
Try to work
Green
into
video.
The hometown one. And then powder.
It's sitting in the back of the car.
It's sitting in the back of the car. So it was a glass bottle filled with orange powder and like dwarven runes written on the bottle with green paint or whatever. Right. And inside of the bottle filled with the orange powder was a little printed note from a dwarven bank. And they brought it outside and they smashed the bottle and they got the thing from it. And they didn't know what was in it. They just... And David tied a key that he had found earlier, which was the key to one of the vaults in this dwarven bank,
so
which had
linked.
Similar runes on it.
And I have a habit of losing small things. So I was like, I'm going to not lose this bottle. I'll tie the key to it. And then we went...
Not you'll lose the key, you'll lose the bottle.
Yeah.
So you tied the key to the bottle, then put it in a plastic bag...
Schmacked it with a hammer.
Schmacked it with
very
a hammer.
Very satisfying. Took out the little map thing or the little note. You're like, oh, cool. And then you were like, I'm going to put this broken glass bag in the bin.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, like 2 minutes later, it's like, cool. So we need that key now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's tied to... Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my house key that I had painted some dwarven runes on went directly in the bin.
Oh, great.
So I needed not to like fish it out.
Not like the house bin. Like job, the wheelie baby. Bin out the front of the house.
Needed to go fish it out of the bin and then out of the bin, out of the broken glass and orange powder. So that was good. There was an El Psychic girl called Domino mm-hmm. that was playing with a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, we snatched it off her, finished it.
And it was a map. The jigsaw puzzle was of the map of the Dwarven Bank, which was sort of fun.
That was really good.
And we had...
Yeah, and we ignored all the fun plans you had and instead punched the guy in the throat and ran for it.
Oh, my sweet divine Christ. So they do this whole bank heist. There was a whole thing about kids. They basically absconded with all of the children that were left in the Mind Flayer's lair. As I got the Shattermind, the Mind Flayer, he had a bunch of kids that he had in the back room because he can't eat their brains yet. He was waiting for them to be ripe. So then they got rid of Azagoth Shattermind. He escaped through a portal, and they were like, come on, kids, you're coming with us, even though they had a pretty well-functioning monarchy going on in their back room. King Bork was just a lad who punched the previous king. And actually, Keelan, former guest of the show, Keelan Flynn's blind monk, tried to punch him, but then Killian, as Dratch, teleported him away. And he punched the wall, and he was like, let that be a lesson to you. He's a blind monk.
Very funny.
Killian's really changed, or Dratch has really changed. Dratch has really changed. In the first game, didn't he kill a child?
Well, he tried to...
Oh, yeah, there was 100 children, 100 babies in a ceiling or something.
What?
Wasn't there a thing where there was 100, 100 kids, and it was like they needed to sacrifice 100 kids to get the spell to work, and Dratch was like, what if we kill one of them, and then they won't have 100 anymore?
That's the sort of lateral thinking that you get from a Killian Rhodes. I don't remember that, but yeah. I think, was that because Keira Fitzpatrick, she left the game, and then her character tried to do that,
that's,
right?
That's right.
So anyway, they got the you got all these kids on your airship, mm-hmm. including the psychic girl, Domino, mm-hmm. and then you took off and went to this bank that
yeah,
you had
we didn't bring any of the kids home.
Hmm?
We didn't bring any of the kids home. We just put them on our ship and told the captain that there was a new crew.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a town nearby where all of the villagers, except for three people who were too stupid to be mind-controlled, everyone else stood up and walked into the Mind Flayer's lair because they were psychically controlled. They got these kids, didn't even think, oh, we might bring these back to the village where they live, to their parents or whatever. They were just like, back in the airship. And we
were pretty considerate. We kicked all the bodies into a hole before we brought them back to the ship.
That was considerate.
So they didn't have to see all the bodies of their families.
They to see their dead parents. So they just took all David Slick Williams, just took all the bodies and fucked them down a crevasse.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you freed them from a life of servitude and put them into a life of servitude.
Yeah, put one in the sky.
Sky servitude, see the world. It's way better.
Join our boat.
They had a lovely time because then they went up and you actually rolled for... They went up in the airship and then Emer rolled for the traveling random encounters and you rolled as high as you could possibly roll. So they saw an ice phoenix, so it gave the party inspiration, but all the kids were like... Like, it's a literal Plato's cave thing.
Yeah.
Whereas previously, the world only existed in, like, shadows on the cave wall. And then they took them out and then took them into three-dimensional space.
And showed them an ice phoenix.
An ice phoenix. And they all lost their shit and they were all
delighted. Is this Philosophy Corner?
It's Philosophy Corner, talking Plato's cave. Exactly right. But, yeah, so then you guys went to the Dwarfish Bank.
Yeah.
The Horn Enclave.
Mm-hmm. Turned into mice. Three
turned into mice. Three of you turned into mice and hid in Dratch's pockets, in Killian's pockets. And then Killian and David as Dratch and Slick Williams.
Bumblebeard and Frank.
Were their adopted.
Excellent. We're in disguise.
Didn't come up with them beforehand. Just literally walked in. We're like, we'd like to open an account. What's your names? They were like, Bumblebeard.
They didn't come up with them beforehand.
And then it's like, and who's
certainly
he?
Doesn't show.
Neither character has a beard, but
Frank. Neither of them have beard.
Frank.
And then you immediately called them. Immediately went, oh, you should ask Dratch. I mean Frank. So
I assume there's not a dwarf among you.
No, they have a dwarf captain to the airship, Red Brock Gunnarsson.
But he had to look after the kids. So we couldn't bring him.
Famed alcoholic and
babysitter.
Multiple times he has tried to kill himself in battle. And you're like, this is the dude we want to put in. To be fair, they haven't had any supervision for the last, like, however long they've been in that cave. So, and they, you know, made up their own little civilization. So they're probably fine.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies in the Sky.
Exactly. that's what it needed. Needed a real elevation point. Somewhere they could throw children off. That's what Lord of the Flies. That's what William Golding was missing.
One of them a weapon.
That's right, you gave him a giant crossbow.
Well, we didn't give him that. He had that. We took it off him and then gave it back. So we took his crossbow and gave him a different crossbow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that really counts as giving him a weapon.
So anyway, the whole time, because I had stayed up the whole night before, and I don't want to give away too much information, because I don't know how much of this I want to reuse, but it feels
Please reuse the Pokemon stuff.
I don't know if I want to, because it feels like something that... It like because all the hints were all there, and it feels like something. Because oftentimes you'll do something and you'll just walk straight past something I've set up, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'll use this again at some point later on. Mm-hmm. This feels like more specific because it was specific to this place. Like it wasn't. I didn't want it to just be dominating all over the world, or it to become this is what your D&D campaign mm-hmm. is now. I didn't want it to just be Pokemon, right? But so the thing was. Someone had come bringing from a faraway island all these little demons that lived in little boxes inscribed with garnets and ivory.
Yeah.
And inside were these little demons, and you could make them fight, right? And people, like in the tavern, when they go into this dwarf bank, and they go into the tavern because they have to stay the night, and there's like all these people gathered around watching. Do you remember who what was fighting in the tavern?
A rat.
It was a barbed rodent.
Oh.
And and what seemed like a purple barrel with red eyes and square teeth. Any ideas, the guys?
Mauve rodent with spikes.
We rat up.
No.
Like a sand slash.
If you think of when you start up Pokemon Red or Blue, what's mm-hmm. the first thing you see?
Ghastly.
Close.
Zapdos?
No, it's real close. We're very close with Ghastly.
Gengar.
Yeah, Gengar and Nidorino fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the opening credits of Pokemon. Oh. Yeah. So the first thing I wanted you to see that hinted at what it was... Radius. Was these things fighting
it's
in
like
the bar.
It's like the opposite game. Everyone's clever but our D&D group.
And then they went into the dining hall at one stage. And, oh, by the way, the half-elf, half-orc was a trader. He was selling demons in the little things. And you
God damn it.
And you breezed past them. You went into the dining hall. Over the dining hall, I don't know if you remember, Emer, there were three banners hanging over the three tables in the dining hall. Of the where the dwarves were slurping their stew, there was three banners. One was red, one was blue, and one was yellow.
Oh,
so the there you go, right? Pokemon Go thing, and they ran into a guy called Garrick Camphor, who's like a little beardling, kept being like, "I'm gonna get my grandfather's gonna give me the strongest daemon." It really pays to have a grandfather in the daemon business, huh? Smell you later.
So we just spent the game going, fuck off, go away.
And if
I'm just calling him Gary.
Yeah.
Like, and what was interesting was all of his dialogue throughout the entire session was
red.
Word for word yeah. as read Gary's dialogue for Blue's dialogue.
Yeah.
From Pokemon.
And we got
as
that
all
was
of...
from Pokemon. I just didn't get that we could have Pokemon.
But he said you can go to,
well, that's
he
nice
said you can go to my grandfather, Professor Camphor.
I thought he was bragging about his connections. I didn't know.
And then you just stormed straight into the vault because you were like, okay, here's the thing. You were literally like, we have no time to the guy. He was like, oh, actually... And the whole thing was, you're the Gorum Ironbeard, the guy who has to examine your package before you put it in the vault. He couldn't do that. They kept saying he was busy. It's because he's sick, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's effectively dying, and that's why they were putting him off. But you were just like, nah, man, we got to go. Like, we got to get this in here. Let's fucking rumble. So you're like, oh, okay. And he's go straight into the vaults. And
ignoring all the secret doors marked on the map.
Yep. You find... So they go into the vaults where they know Vault 19 is where the thing they need to steal is, right?
Yeah.
Which is one of the staff, right? It's broken in three parts. It's one of the parts of the staff. So they go into
the vault thing, you're mm-hmm. given vault 17, I think. Mm-hmm. David, do you remember what happened?
In 17?
So yeah, there was you, it was the Borum, Borum Horn, who was the son.
Yes, yeah, so we went in and
we
were like, okay, we just need to lock this guy in here and use this magic mask to take his face. And we couldn't figure out how to get him locked in. So I started faking a panic attack to try to leave the room. I was like, I just got to get some air. And then everyone left. I was like, fuck, we need to get them back inside. So I was like, I forgot something. I went back in and was like, there's a hole in the ceiling. And then he looked up and I punched him in the throat.
First time he failed, and we had to use our inspiration that we got from the Phoenix to try again to punch him in the throat again.
You rolled a critical fail to punch him in the throat.
So did you punch yourself in the throat? What?
No.
Because they used the inspiration that they got from seeing that Phoenix earlier on. Which
so they could disregard the first roll.
You can have a re-roll of it. Yeah.
But
instead of punching yourself in the throat.
Yeah, so I punched the dude in the throat, and he just got pissed.
Because David was like, out of game, was like, yeah, he's unconscious now. I punched him in the throat.
That's not how punching someone in the throat works.
I thought he'd at least be incapacitated.
No. You probably wouldn't be able to speak for a minute. You just annoyed him.
he draws his weapons, and David got legitimately annoyed. He was just like, why isn't he unconscious? I punched him in the throat.
Throat punching works.
I was like, he was looking up, like it was...
I got a wider surface area on the trachea. I don't understand.
As well, punching in the throat, the thickest neck fictional race. Yeah.
But you'd even made a point about how he had a very little beard. I was like, perfect, nothing in the way.
Except a thick neck.
Like, if you had been, I use the poison on him, I knock his head against the wall to knock him out. If there was something like this. But just punching, if you punch someone in the neck, it's not like an off switch.
You need to follow through with more attacks.
Yeah.
That was fucking gas.
Said to John earlier, though, that you're someone, very obviously, who's never been in a fight.
Yeah. I think that is very accurate of our D&D group. We are not people who have ever had to actually think our way out of a problem or fight.
This was specifically, by the way, me and Rob were specifically telling him about the Dungeons & Dragons game earlier. He wasn't just apropos out of nowhere saying you've never
real
been
bad
in a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. but yeah, so then you guys all jump out of his pockets, turn it in out of mice, and shit's on between this guard and this dwarven prince and mm-hmm. the five of you. But you quickly, you make relatively short work of them, but you use an ice spell that you think will just like ice, conduit of ice, but it creates a big blast zone. So if you're like around the corner, suddenly a fucking thing of snow just slides down into view, like a fucking pile of snow. And everyone in the corridor, including all of their mates, like took like 20 cold damage.
Yeah, so you end up locking these two dudes in the effectively.
You strip them naked.
Yeah.
You, because.
Well, our original plan was Dratch was going to turn into this dwarf.
Because they have a mask.
We have a mask that will take a face of someone you're looking at. And then we realised that Dratch, a drow elf, isn't much like a dwarf.
No, he's just
a tall black dude with...
opposite of a dwarf.
A tall black dude with a white dwarfish face. Yeah. And he's just going to be like, hello, father, everything's fine. So instead, they took Ellie, who's a halfling...
Closer to the right size.
Yeah. His mail and put on the mask and turned into his face, and then boom, that's a plan. But you just leave this poor dwarven prince in the nip in a pile of ice, locked in a vault with no one to know that he's not there. But to be fair, they didn't kill anyone, and that might be the first session you guys have ever gone through without killing an innocent.
Killing an anything.
Yeah.
Even the episode that was like a bureaucratic.
Yeah. You had an episode where they were just in charge of a city and just had to do like medieval Sim City with it and ended up killing like 1,000 people.
Oh, was that the riot you inside it?
The riot, the kite festival riot of 2009.
And remember we had something to about werewolves. So it's like, oh, you bring us a werewolf pelt, we'll give you money. And then people just started killing dogs. And bringing us the fur. That was
been
bad.
Like, oh yeah, it's a werewolf. We need the money.
Our time did not go well there.
The fishing initiative worked all right.
Yeah, there's lots of fish there.
That's really like, got that fishing initiative
off
the ground.
There's so much fish in that town.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. But, yeah, so you escape, you dodge out, and then I'm like, man, I stayed up all night doing all of the stats for 15 Pokemon that I have invented and created and painted models for. Like, I am going to give it one last shot. So Garrick, Camphor... Camphor is like a type of tree as well, so it's like an oak or, you know.
Real on the nose.
Yeah. So Garrick is wandering down the thing, and he's just like, what, you guys don't have any demons yet? Oh, smell you later.
And, like, Gary, it wasn't the time. We were trying to escape. We just locked up the prince. We had to go. We couldn't take a detour to get Pokemon.
Joe, it'll be fun. I'm going to bring up the list of the Pokemon, right? Because I don't think I'm going back to it.
Oh, no, we're going to make you go. We're going to go back. We still have that map. Put on a disguise. We'll get those Pokemon.
Yeah, but listen, he's giving out the starters. The starters are gone.
You're getting a Rattata. You'll be happy with it.
You're going Pidgey all day. I tell you what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to read you out a name of one of the Pokemon that I created for this Pokemon-themed adventure. And if you can guess correctly what, like, that Pokemon is based on the name, you get 1,000,000 points, and you win the podcast.
I like this game. Okay.
All right.
Can I trade those points in D&D for...
Yes. You can trade those ones in for... If you can get one of them, this is what I'll do, right?
Okay.
If you can get one of them, the Pokemon come back into D&D. If you don't get one of them, the Pokemon are gone forever.
Oh, shit, that's a lot of pressure. Fuck.
Yeah?
I much prefer the 1,000,000 points. Though,
okay.
There's less to lose.
Okay, I'm going to go the first one, Radical. Radical. R-A-D-I-C-L-E. Radical.
Radical.
R-A-D-I-C-L-E.
Is it a surfing?
It is not a surfing.
Radical
Pokemon.
Spelled that way. It has to be something to do with ice, because that reminds me of icicle. Some sort of cool ice Pokemon.
This one's particularly on the nose. Like, if you know it, you'll know what it is. I will give you a hint. It's one of the starting three.
Okay, so water. Water. Or do they change them now? Because it was always...
It's just the three main types.
It was fire, plant, and water.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you the starting three, right?
Okay.
And if you can guess what they are, like, give us just a vague image of what kind, like, what they are. So the starting three are Radical, Tember, but spelt P-T-E-M-B-E-R, Tember, and Flotter.
I say Tember is like a grass dinosaur.
P-T-E-M-B-E-R.
Oh, wait, no, Ember.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be a fire pterodactyl.
You're close because it's actually the same Latin root.
Oh.
But it's not a pterodactyl.
So what's pterodactyl? They fly.
No, but PT.
PT.
They're kind of bird like. Could it be a fire bird? Wow. What does pterodactyl mean again? Something of the sky or.
So it was Radical,
Skyfire,
Tember, and Flotter. They were the starting three.
So an otter of some description.
Floaty otter.
Floating otter. Dead otter.
Rob, you want to chime in? Any ideas?
Go on. Win us those Pokemon.
Yeah, it counts if you get it too, Rob.
Yeah.
Okay. All I'm thinking is otter. Like a fire otter.
For Flotter?
Yeah.
All right.
They're all fire Pokemon.
Three starting fires. Nope. Not a fire otter. Any guesses, lads?
Tember is... I don't know. I don't know any Greek. Pterodactyl. No.
Okay.
Something to do with Tommy or something. Because I know that begins with a PT.
Tommy.
I think he was like Ptolemy.
Oh, Ptolemus.
Yeah.
Or Ptolemy. Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
Okay. Then I'm out of ideas.
Okay, I will give you
Pokemon in your D&D game. We did it, guys.
Yeah. He said it. He said it again. Yeah.
I'll give you one more because they've all got that. You know that I really tried to follow the Pokemon naming convention of having it's like you
Charmander,
know, exactly right. So that kind of thing. So I'll give you one more, and if you can, it's my favorite one.
Okay.
And if you can even give me the type, I'd be really happy. Mortis Minor.
Mortis Minor.
Mortis Minor is my favorite name for a Pokemon I came up with.
It has to be a ghost. Mort.
Mort is dead, but it also is like a Mortis Minor.
Yeah.
I know John's dad used to collect. So, a dead car, a hearse, some sort of hearse Pokemon.
I mean, you're not 1,000 miles
Mortis,
away.
Mortis.
You were definitely minor. Closer with Timber than you are with more with the ghost car Pokemon. Although, to be honest, Probably. Generation
there's a lot of
5,
them
man, there's a fucking keychain Pokemon. Like, there's a bin Pokemon. You know what I mean?
Mortis Minor, weren't they? They're not those three-wheeled ones.
No, that was a Reliant Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mortis Minor is a dead child. Ghost baby.
You're pretty close.
Ghost baby Pokemon.
You're not quite there, but you're pretty close. You're pretty close.
Mortis, rigor mortis, stiff. Real stiff baby.
A stick.
Gross.
Stick baby.
Don't ever say stiff baby ever again. Go on, lad. So if you can get Radical, Timber, Flotter, if you had to have a guess, because you know that they have to fit into three
flying
types.
Okay, what if could radical be the grass one? It's like a radish.
Yeah.
It could be.
Radical.
You have any idea what radical might be?
Well, no, that makes the most sense so far.
But okay. I think there was already a radish Pokemon, so that's probably what I'm thinking about.
Oddish.
Timber has ember in it, so that reads fire. And Flotter sounds like water. So that's where my mind is going.
Okay, I will give you this. You've gotten the types right.
I have no idea. I don't know. I'm just very tired and my brain isn't...
Take a punt. You get it right.
A dead baby car.
Not dead baby
Little
car.
White coffin.
For if you can get any of the three starters right, I'll bring Pokemon back in the next game. So okay. Flotter, Radical, Timber.
I'm still thinking about the Mortis Minor. I think it's a ghost with a pickaxe. That's my...
Do you know what? That's close enough that I've got to give it to her.
Boom.
Really?
That is close enough that I've got to give it to her.
Little dead dwarf?
Mortis Minor is... I tell you what. It's sort of like a little dark minion, but he has like a... It's not quite a pickaxe. It's sort of like a... I don't know how you describe it. Like a like a halberd, but it's short. It's like a short little thing. And he's...
Woo.
It's close enough that I'll give it to you.
Great.
So Mortis Minor.
He's not a stiff baby.
He's not a stiff baby. He's like a dark minion.
It's close.
That kind of thing. But it was he carries a big tool with him.
Just like a stiff baby.
Am I right? Very good. Oh dear. Do you remember when we were for a production company?
Go for it.
Hey gang, John Hosier Byrne here with my compatriot. Engineer and otherwise good red-headed fellow, Rob O'Sullivan.
Hello.
This is the ad break, and during the ad break, we would like to remind you that Patreon exists, and also to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow Rob at Sentinel Audio, and at Rob, and you've got 2 Twitter accounts, don't you?
Yeah, I've got the company one, and I've got my own one.
You can also follow myself at John Hosier Byrne, and Davey in absentia. At Davey Riley. Davey Riley?
Yep.
Ryan Cullen is at Ryan Cullen 90. What do we have on the Patreon, the exclusives on the Patreon?
We have the Lindy Baby video.
Lindy Baby.
Which chronicles Davey's attempt to learn how to fly a drone.
He had it for a while at that point. He was just shy at flying drones.
Yeah. And soon we will have the inaugural and probably final episode of 46A. Exclusive to Patreon.
Is that right? Oh, boy, howdy. Listen, this ad has really gone off the rails. So thanks for listening and back to the show.
Do you want me to do a question?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do a question.
Who's your favourite Pope? Asks Fionn Cleary.
Brent.
Great.
No, perfect. Nailed it.
Very good.
Yeah,
Big joke out there for all the Irish rugby fans and no one else. Favourite Pope? What about the young Pope?
Jude Law.
Haven't seen it.
Looks shite.
Yeah, I thought it looked terrible, but it's actually getting great reviews, even though it honestly looks like the worst thing that's ever happened.
It really does. They chose a pope they didn't know. Like, how would they have done that?
How would he even get to be a cardinal?
That's kind of what I'm intrigued. I want to watch it, because I'm like, just how did he get...
And it's modern day. It's not... Like, when I saw it, I thought, it's another period
piece. I thought it was from the 15th century, because they did have really young popes then. There was a cardinal who was 9 years old once, because he was the son of a pope. Like, it was ridiculous like that.
He's my favourite. The pope.
Pope
sired another pope. because of the confidence involved. I'm like, yeah, fuck the broad,
babies. That baby.
Perfect. So good.
Actually, my favorite is, you know, I think it was in the 1600s that there was a series of anti-popes. Mm-hmm. Because half of the...
It's like a plate of meat, right?
The half of the church wanted the I don't know, the home of the church to be in France, and the others wanted to be in Rome, and they couldn't agree, so they had simultaneous popes, counter-popes.
Like the shadow pope.
Yes.
Mega-pope.
Mega-pope. I love that.
There was another thing back then. They, like, exhumed a dead pope mm-hmm. and put him on trial.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
That it's real cool. There's a picture of it. There's just a skeleton in the throne, sitting a picture on a throne.
Of it. When did this happen?
Oh no, I mean like a painting of it, right. And it's like the fucking coolest thing. But I can't remember the name of it.
Dead Pope painting to Google.
Yeah, they fucking put him on trial.
That'll
it was
get
great.
You there. Dead Pope put on trial. Images. Stephen the Sixth.
Cromwell. They did that to Cromwell.
Fuck.
Right.
They had a trial for Cromwell's dead body and then beheaded it as a punishment. And then buried it again.
I'll learn them.
You know they
Formosus
had a...
Pope Formosus. It was called the Cadaver Synod.
That sounds like a
trial.
Disease.
Wow.
It's a fucking metal. 897
AD.
Name.
Well, you know there was a Pope Joan?
Yeah, is that real though? Or
I don't know.
Apocryphal?
Yeah, apparently she gave birth during the...
that's coronation. What you want from your
during pope. The coronation she gave birth.
Ah, get away. Yeah, no, they had the it was sort of like a toilet thing, like a toilet-like chair.
Oh, yeah, they look lifted, up the Pope's skirt.
They lift the Pope up on, and then a cardinal will go underneath and look up.
So
for like
Crufts.
Yeah. Checking the undercarriage of the Pope. It's like, oh, excellent, well-groomed.
Give him a Pope smear.
But they said...
Pope smear.
Pope smear. But they said something like... Aurum testicularis or something like that. It was like, you know, praise
Habeam
be to God.
Bollicum.
Exactly. The Pope has balls. And yeah.
Pontificate scroticus.
And that came into it so that they couldn't have any more secret lady popes, which is brilliant. If you were that lady, like that's, I mean, we talk about being feminists. We've never gone so far as to be the first female pope under everyone's noses.
Deep undercover.
That is.
I think
hardcore.
Hillary would have done better if she had pretended to be.
I'd say she absolutely would have. If she'd had, cut the hair a little bit, on the short on the sides.
Maybe dampen the colour on the suits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's my favourite pope. If she was around now, she'd be wearing a repeal jumper. Which is what you want from a pope.
Yeah. Most versions of her story describe her as a talented and learned woman who disguised herself as a man, often at the behest of a lover.
Often?
Mm.
How many lovers does she have that want her to dress as men?
That is it, Pope
And dress specifically as a pope?
It's the church.
It's real kinky.
Her sex was revealed when she gave birth during a procession. And she died shortly after.
Killing it, Jeff.
Either through murder... or natural causes.
How
you know,
do they not
the two
know?
Ways to die. And.
Oh, she was naturally stabbed in the back.
She just fell on that knife so many times.
Did it account state that later church processions avoided this spot? And they crafted a ritual. Yeah, so that must be to ensure that future popes were male. Mm-hmm. That's the old.
Yeah, the toilet shirt. Aurum testicularis.
What if one pope only had one ball and he was keeping it on the QT? And then he's like, lads, can we just. It's there, trust me.
I don't know if they disqualify you for only having the one.
Aurum testicularis. I'm Googling that and I'm not imaging it, but.
It was something, I can't remember. It's probably not that, but it was some. I can't recall what it was. But listen, the important thing is.
Pope
we
John.
All know now that we want to spice things up in the bedroom. You know, get a tall white hat and a cassock. You'd be away in a hack.
Yep.
Oh, you had a story to tell me about a footballer.
Ali Dia.
Go on,
so,
real quick.
Ali Dia was a footballer. It was 20 years. So we're watching football highlights last night. It was 20 years ago this happened.
Right.
Graeme Souness was the manager of Southampton. He got a phone call from somebody saying they were George Weah, who was World Player of the Year that year.
Oh, right.
Being like, well, Graeme, my cousin's real handy with the football. Do you want to sign him? And he's like, we'll give him a month's contract. So mm-hmm. he came and he trained for a little bit. And then he was like, we'll put him in a reserve match just to see what he's like. The reserve match got called off because of a waterlogged pitch. So then he just made the bench for an actual Premier League game, I think was against Arsenal. 32 minutes in, Matt Letizia gets injured. Right. Ali Dia makes his debut, is so bad he gets subbed off again.
Oh,
he's
wow.
a man who could not play football. He talked his way onto the bench of a Premier League football team.
Oh my God.
And got playing.
It's so cool.
Wow.
It
oh
is,
my God.
And he got released like 2 weeks later.
I can imagine.
Because they were like, okay, maybe he was just terrible. And then in training, they were like, this guy's offensively bad.
Did they not have like one training session with him?
Yeah, but Mathletizzi's come out and said like he was bad in training. And they're like, well, you know, sometimes some guys just don't train too hard. And when they get out on the pitch, he's... And, you know, George Weah was bigging him up. It was just some lad.
So it wasn't even the person who was player of the year?
No, it was just a guy.
Some lad who
was probably himself.
No, it was his mate. Yeah, but it'd be pretty much like Rob calling like Mourinho, being like, well, Jose, it's messy. I've got this cousin... David, who's handy enough now. Don't look it up. Just,
we've seen you play for the rest of the world team.
Exactly, yeah. Just give him a game and then getting a game. Ludicrous.
Did he get paid? Like,
yeah.
That's incredible.
It's beautiful.
He just talked his way. Is this pure Pope Joan bluffing like?
That is why every time they get a new player in Southampton, they lift him up on a chair and they check for his testicles.
If you're unclear, just because it's here, I'll ask a second.
FC the football club.
Yeah, he asked that last one. But also, what's the difference between a street and a lane? Philosophy corner.
What is the difference between a street and a lane?
I think lanes are smaller.
I would have to do with the width.
Is there a width? Yeah.
I would have imagined that a street can... I don't know what the difference between
lane.
A street and a road is either. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine, being from the country, that a street allows for two-way traffic, whereas a lane only allows for one, which is where you have to sort of pull in. And
I'd say as well, a lane can be naturally formed, but a street can't.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
A street is built.
That's very true. A lane also can't be elected Pope.
I want to, Rob, yeah, that's perfect.
That, we're done. That's it.
Yeah?
That
yeah.
might be my favorite joke that's been made on this podcast.
End it.
Christmas questions. We'll get to you next week. But that was too good a joke to.
No, can't waste that.
That was glory.
Oh, dear. I know by the logic of that joke, it means that a street can be elected Pope.
Yeah.
What a stupid podcast we run. Well, Fionn Cleary, thank you very much for your question. Thank you for everybody who questions in. He knocks him out of the park. I do like Fionn Cleary. He's a good lad.
He's a good dude.
I've had a lot of fun. I hope the listener has as well. On behalf of the journalist, writer, social media expert and halfling rogue wizard, Elisadi Silvershaper, Emer Sugru.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. You were a joy, as always. Also with us today, and we're delighted to have him, John Augustus Roebling, the man behind all of our favourite bridges. Mr. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Goodbye, everybody.
Also with us today, he almost couldn't be here because he was busy escaping from New York, Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
My name's
Stiff Baby.
Thank you. Perfect way to leave it. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thank you very much for listening. My name's been John Hosier Byrne. Good night. Do you know who I love, David?
Who's that?
I love our Patreon subscribers.
They are my favourite of our subscribers.
They are genuinely really, really lovely people who support the show, keep us going, keep us eating.
Keep us in flu meds.
Keep us in flu medication and chicken tenders. Without them, I don't know what would happen.
We'd be tenderless.
We'd be tenderless. So I just wanted to take this opportunity, give a big shout out to our Patreon supporters, our ensigns on the USS Best Friend, Sam Sweeney Saya and Chelsea Kirkman. I'd also like to send out a big thank you to the Knight of the Sainsbury's Car Park, Mr. Lard Flames. Sir Lard Flames, I apologise. Also, a big thank you to the councillors of King Robert the Hand, Shelley Umla and Dawn Smith, two marvellous supporters of the show. Dawn sending in a killer question earlier on today.
Yeah.
And finally, the stars of the constellation, Aldrin's Mickey, Marion Knight, Lizzie, also actually a couple of people who are chosen to be anonymous, but we love them all the same. Thank you so much for your continued support of the podcast. We genuinely, truly, really, really appreciate it. And hey, if you're not a sponsor of the podcast, why not check us out on patreon.com?
You the best.
Cheers. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, @StonefaceFilms. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast. We'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.